You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, then we share all of that information on our social media, CetaMediaInc.com, as well as Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
That's right. And for listeners who are first tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, on Mondays, Ellen O'Neill, my co-host, our friend Allie, and myself sit here with our Danny Whiting. He runs our board. And we speak to people here in Brevard County, Florida. We speak to people around the world. We speak to people all over the United States about what they are doing to move our great country forward. And we talk to people about financial literacy. We speak to people who wants to write a book. We speak to people who owns and operates many businesses. We have educators, lots of professional medical people like doctors and people who do research work. We also speak to people right here in Brevard who are trying to uplift our community and save green spaces. And we speak to people who can also talk to us about dreams, not just I have a dream from Dr. Martin Luther King, but actual dreams that when you are sleeping, that someone could tell you what's going on in that beautiful brain of yours. And today's no different. In my studio today, a good friend, Mr. Jerry Gifford, is here. He will join us on the second segment to speak about the power of our dreams. And he is a student, in some sort, of somebody named Jung, right? Yes. And he'll be on the second segment. Our first segment, I am one of the volunteers that shows up when I can, in addition to all the important stuff that I do in town, for the historic Green Gables right here. Historic Green Gables, Riverview Village. And my good friend Anita is here, and my friend Sue Fallon. And they're going to talk to us a little bit about what's going on at Green Gables. There's a gala coming up, how you can get involved, all the stuff that's going on at Green Gables so that they could bring in a little cha-ching to help restore this beautiful home. It's a historical home. And I will let my friend Anita tell us a little bit about herself and how she got involved with Green Gables. Anita Full, take it away.
I've been involved with Green Gables since about 2019. I had a friend that had volunteered there. She said, let's go. I want you to come and see this house. I said, all right. So I went. I looked at it. I thought it was great. And they said, we're having a meeting here next week. How about you come to the meeting? I said, okay, I will. And they said, you know, we need a secretary to take minutes. Could you possibly just do that for this meeting? And I said, okay. Well, for 4 years, I was secretary. And at the same time, I did their accounting work and QuickBooks. And now I'm the treasurer. And
yeah. And Green Gables was built in 1896.
It was built in 1896 by the Wells family, by William and Nora Wells.
That's right. And I've been there. And I must say, the river breeze that you get on that patio would make anybody fall in love with Green Gables and want to save that historic home. And you brought with you my good friend, Sue Fallon. So Sue, you're also, you're on the board, and you also started by being a volunteer, and you were secretary. So you do a lot of stuff, grant writing. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved and how long have you been with Historic Green Gables?
Well, I started about the same time that Anita did, late 2018, early 2019. And we all got on the board right away, basically, and then became officers. So the first thing I think that I got involved with was contacting the state level people on historic preservation and also looking into the grants that they offer at the Historic Resources Division of the state. And we together started to write the grant.
Yes. And in addition to the grant that you all were able to acquire to help preserve the building, Green Gables, I remember all of us had to write letters to preserve the building. And how long did it take for them to respond to that when we did that?
Well, within a year, they have an annual meeting where they approve the grants, and then you don't see any money if you're approved and ranked. They call it ranking. They by the next July 1st, when the budget clears, when the new budget for the state comes out, that's when the money is released. And then we waited another year before we actually closed. We had to straighten some things out. So it was approved in 2020 or 21, but we actually didn't close until 2023.
Right. And Anita, the dream for us group people that want to see this old historic home restored is that together we can restore this home and bring history back alive. And the dream of Green Gables is to fully restore the home to its original beauty and for it to become one of the places in Brevard that not just the residents of Brevard can enjoy, but people who are visiting Brevard. And I know when you became a volunteer and you went to Green Gables, there must have been an aha moment for you when you said, something about this home and the Wells family makes me want to get involved. So tell us a little bit about the vision for restoring the old gal.
The old gal?
Yeah.
Well, we had a vision. We have a vision that we had the vision first to buy the house. That was our first big move. Now our vision is to restore the house and the green space. We're about an acre and a half of land right on the river. So the land is as important as the house is. But the house, it has a welcoming feeling. When you walk in the door, you just kind of feel surrounded by it. You know that it was a happy place at one time when the family lived there. They must have had many joyous moments there. We have a lot of family photographs of activities they did. They were big in fishing. And of course, at that time, fishing was wonderful here. But we, we're working constantly to raise the funds to restore the house. It needs a lot of work, but
yeah,
we're going to get there.
And for our listeners who are tuning in, a little bit about a historic Riverview Village, Green Gables. It's a 501c nonprofit, and they are working extremely hard to raise funds necessary to save this 126-year-old home. It is a historical Queen Annie-style home, and it was built by one of Melbourne's finest, William T. Wells, and his wife, Nora. And their family did a lot for Melbourne, Florida, right, Sue? A lot of people don't know this. When you drive by on US 1 and you see that green and white house, we all talk about leaving a good footprint behind for the next generation. They actually did it. Not only did they donate a lot of land and money and their time, but they left a legacy behind. Can you tell our listeners a little bit on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, a little bit about some of the great things that Mr. and Mrs. Wells did?
Yes, they do definitely have a legacy with helping to develop early Melbourne. He had some things in the house even that no one in the area had, like they had the first indoor bathroom, and he operated that with a generator and an artesian well. And the house was wired for electricity, and no one had electricity for years beyond the house being built. But for the city itself, he built the first auditorium that's on Wells Park, which 35 acres of his was donated to the city. And he built the first high school because his children were taken out of school in the winter up north, and there was no high school when they built the house in 1896 in Melbourne. So he offered the school open for other children also. He brought a professor from Rollins over to teach. And he also helped build the first library along with his son, Stanford. He graded roads and built sidewalks. And like I think I already said that he donated 35 acres of Wells Park to the city.
Yeah. And a lot of us, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that people don't see when they drive by. And they might say, well, this is a very slow process. And I know just before the house was, you all bought the house, the historic Riverview bought the home, there were other people that was interested in that property. Like all the property here in Brevard, especially property underwater, somebody wanted to buy it, I'm sure, and put up condos or something. And there goes all the green spaces and the historic buildings. Right? So someone said, no, we're not going to do that. And I knew it was a battle with the family and other entities to get that property.
That's right. The family were going to, they, you know, it didn't meet code, and they were going to just demolish it at that point because the family didn't use it anymore. And it wasn't in a condition where they could rent it out. So so when John Daly, the originator of the entire movement, he was going for his historic preservation degree. He started and wrote the paperwork involved to get it on the National Register and all of that. So that's how it all started. And so it's, you know, it's been going on since about 2006. But now we're working toward the construction and the work on the house itself, plus the site plan. That comes first as well for the city.
Yeah, and you know, how do we get more businesses, more individuals involved? Because if everybody in Brevard sent $10, we can make the money. We really can.
Yeah.
But how do we get more businesses, more people to understand, to spread the word that once that home is restored to her original state, it will benefit the merchants downtown. It will benefit the hotels near downtown Melbourne and elsewhere. It would benefit school children to learn about history. It will benefit so many people. So what can we do here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to get the community members? I mean, a lot of them already stepped up and they're kind, but how do we get more people to step up and understand that this is going to be a jewel for Brevard?
I think the slow process is what scares people because it looks like we're not doing anything. So they may not even want to give $1 or $10 toward the project because they don't think it's going to happen, but we're working. It doesn't look like we're doing anything. We did put new signs out there to show what the renderings of the home will be when it's finished. But and it is going to take a lot of money. So I think they're afraid that we're not working on it, and we are. We're working constantly. There's a small knit group of people doing most of the the restoration work and, you know, interviewing engineers and contractors and the architects.
Yeah, and that entails a lot of money with the contracts.
Yes, it does.
You have to speak to not just one person and give them the job, right? So, Anita, in order for people to be part of this historic home, Green Gables, people can volunteer, they can visit and tour. They can support the organization online and make a donation, follow on social media, because the goal is to preserve this home and have community engagement. So, Anita, I know last year you were in charge of the big gala. So talk to our listeners about the gala, however you want to say it, the date, the time, how much the tickets are, and what can patrons expect if they buy a ticket and they show up.
All right. Well, we are having our third annual gala. This year, our theme is Evening in Paris. It is going to be on February 27th at the Grand Manor on Sarno Road in Melbourne. Tickets are $85 a person. If you'd like to get a table of eight, then it's $640 or $80 a person.
Yeah. And the theme is an evening in Paris. So do we have to go and buy all them fancy clothes and things? Or you could just wear something nice that you have?
You just wear something nice.
Right.
You know.
And it's from 6 to 11.
It's 6 to 11. We will have the cash bar, then we have appetizers, then we have dinner, a buffet dinner. We have wonderful music by Phoenix.
Live music and dancing.
Yeah. And you know what? For $85 for that gala, I don't know, I'm from Trinidad. I never know how to say the word. Yeah. You're going to be getting dessert.
Right.
See how I started with the dessert first. Sorry, Michael. Yeah. I will lose 10 pounds for your wedding. And so they'll get an appetizer. They're getting a full course dinner.
Correct.
They're also getting the dessert, and they're getting live music entertainment, and you're going to have prizes.
And we also have a silent auction.
Yeah.
We also have a live auction.
Right. So people could bring their friends. So our goal here is to encourage people to attend. And Ellen, you're going to be singing for us.
That's right.
And you're going to play my favorite song, Tiny Whiny.
I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
And so tell our listeners a little bit about the band, the Phoenix Band. Your band is going to be playing.
Well, this is the second year?
Yes.
Or third year? Second year that we've done this gala. And it's always a well-attended event. And we love all the friends that wind up showing up and giving back. And actually, the prizes and the auction items have been quite significant the last year, so I'm looking forward to this year to seeing all of the prizes and so forth. Of course, the dancing, and if you've ever seen us as the Phoenix Band, we're out. We do all kinds of stuff. We do country, we do rock and roll, but there'll be something for everyone to dance to, and we will have a great
grand time. So Sue, one of the prizes this year is a helicopter ride.
That's
and
right.
Greg Pallone is going to be there.
Yeah, Greg Pallone is the main auctioneer, and Ellen's going to help out with that.
Yes.
And we do have a helicopter ride with Wings of Grace Ministries have donated it, and Melbourne Flight Training has donated, again, another flight experience for someone to bid on. And we have a big portrait package from a photographer. And
And so if somebody wanted to buy a ticket, where can they find you? Go online? And if you have the website where they can go and buy the tickets, let us know.
Yes. I think, Anita, they can go directly to
You can go directly to Green Gables. Our website is greengables.org. And if you just scroll down a little, you'll see tickets on sale here for the gala. And we'd sure love to have you come and join us.
Right.
And I have posted that. If you're on Facebook right now, if you look underneath this, the post that Sita did this morning about the show, you'll see both posts for the actual ticket that you can just go and click on and get to the tickets, or you can go and look at the website and see more.
Right. And I know that the city of Melbourne has been awesome in working with Green Gables.
Yes.
In addition to having the event for the gala, we're also having, in collaboration with the city, something about rain barrels. If somebody doesn't want to attend.
Anita can speak to that.
Right, yeah.
Right, that was yesterday. But people who did not attend, they could still go and make a donation. And they can still get a barrel.
Yes.
Right? I'm pretty sure that there's more left over.
There are. We still have a few more workshops coming up.
Right.
We did this last year and sold well over 100 barrels. So we're helping the lagoon and helping our water system here. But we have two more workshops coming up. We have one March 7th
and April 18th.
And another one April 18th. And we probably will have one more in May, but we haven't set up the date yet.
You guys have a lot of events, and you have a motorcycle show classic. Now, Jerry might be interested in that. No, he's not. He just like he's interested only in the cats. So I you know what? It's interesting that you got involved with trying to save the Indian River Lagoon, because people don't understand what the rain barrel does when you have one to water your plants and your garden and all that. So it is education as well as restoring the old home.
Oh yes, definitely.
Right. So Sue, tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, how can one become a volunteer and offer their skills? Because we have so many people who are retired and they think, well, it might cost a lot of give me a lot of time or whatever. It's not. You have people that volunteer from 1 hour to 40 hours.
Well, we have a volunteer coordinator. Her name's Samantha Wisdom. So they could email her at samantha@greengables.org or phone our regular Green Gables phone number, which is 321-306-8635. And we'll hook you up with anything you like to do as far as volunteering goes. We have a lot of different opportunities with events and things around the house always.
Right. And one doesn't have to have just money to get involved. If somebody wanted say, donate time to come and cut the grass, or you also need people still to help paint. You need people. The civil engineer, you said, is working on the plans because the city has to approve that plan. And how is that coming along? Is that also donated time by the civil engineer?
No, we had a grant, a small grant that we've started with to be able to pay some of her services from the Florida Trust for Historic Preservation. They are advocates for historic preservation in the state. And they go to the legislators and they fight to have that grant money available in the state budget every year. And this is our little accounts that they've set up with their own organization where they award small grants to different historic sites across the state.
Yeah. And how now, did you all have to go to Tallahassee to speak to lawmakers about this historic site?
No, we didn't have to do that. When you submit the grant, you can go up there and be there in person so that they can ask you questions directly, or you can do it by phone, be available on, on a link, and they can ask you questions that way when they're looking to rank your grant. And there's a commission of people that are on, that are on this group that do all the ranking of the grants.
Yeah, one wonders, like, where did Mr. Wells get that energy and to be so cultural and scientific at the same time with that home? Because he has stuff from India in that house, pieces of wood from India in that home, and it lasted all this time. I mean, how sometimes, I used to live in Tortoise Island there, and oftentimes you will see a lot of the houses being pulled down because they had a lot of termites and things. Mm-hmm. And that is everyday construction, right? But that house doesn't have any of that.
Well, I think the wood back then and the craftsmanship might have been a little bit more carefully done. And, it's lath and it's hand-nailed with a lot of nails in there and then plaster on the interior. The exterior, it's withstood all the hurricanes except the 04 hurricanes did damage to it, but it's still standing. But it is getting to the point where we are worried about the structure itself.
Yeah, so it could fall down at any time. It's not the stairs. When you go up the stairs, I am like, oh God, I hope the stairs, especially since I gained a few pounds, I'm like, I don't want to fall down.
No, the stairs are very sturdy. It's just that the one, there isn't a lot to hold on to if you have mobility issues.
As and we they're get, very steep.
Yeah,
they are. But they're small, steep. Right? We're so spoiled in today's construction. It's like a whole foot for you, really.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So Anita, why is it so important for our children to understand history. We're living in a time when kids don't know history. We're living in a time when we see a lot of books are not going to be in school so children could read about history. And we're living in a time when parents don't take the time, some parents anyways, to read to a child. But I have a vision myself that there could be a trolley from the house to downtown Melbourne. There could be a tea shop in that property. There could be so many things, a little souvenir shop selling things that talks about this historical home. So why is it not, how can we tell more parents to get involved with teaching their children about history?
Well, we're trying to do that. We do have an education program at this time. Mostly we're dealing with the homeschools and charter schools, but we bring children to the home. We let them spend a morning experiencing what it was like to live around 1900. They come in and they learn a little history of the house, the family, and the Melbourne area and how the home fits into the Melbourne area. They make something, they make soap. Sometimes they make kites.
I bet they'll ask you, if this house is fully restored, will there be Wi-Fi? Because kids are not going anywhere these days without Wi-Fi.
I know.
And I see.
But when they do not use phones and things like this during the time they're at the house, you know, we try to let them experience. They also experience the games that children played at that time. Do you see that it was, you don't have to have an electronic game, you know. They had a lot of fun and the kids were amazed. And they have a great time. Then they usually have a picnic lunch at our picnic tables right on the river. And
it's an outing.
It's an outing for them. And we have repeat every year. We have repeat. The teachers bring their new students, their new class every year.
Yeah, and we have about a couple of minutes left. So, Sue, in addition to saving the building, there's also scholarships, I heard, where the children have to speak about you know, why they think we should preserve historic buildings and things like that. Are they still giving out the scholarships, or is all the money going towards the home?
Well, we're now offering one of the members of the family, the fourth generation. They're offering, they've offered $1,000 a year. We're doing that for anyone who's going to college. It's for high school seniors. And we just started that this year. And for anyone who's going to study history or engineering or both, they're eligible to apply for this. So they have to, you know, tell us why they're interested in history in the little essay that they write. And we're going to award one. And I believe there's four high schools involved with that the applicants can apply from.
Yeah. How wonderful, because there are so many kids who do want to go into engineering, especially architecture,
mm-hmm.
architectural, right? Because you don't see, it's amazing, these kids from little, this is what they want to do. And why not reward them for it? And they have to maintain a certain GPA, I would assume.
Well, I know their high school level has to be. And it's a one-time thing. One is awarded annually to one person. So their high school grade point average has to be, and I don't recall what we set it at. I'm not on that particular committee, but there is a requirement.
Yeah, and the Green Gables house is one of the homes that has significant meaning to Melbourne, Florida.
That's right.
And it was voted one of the, the best historical site for the Space Coast. I mean, I could just, I know I've been to parties there when every, it's a potluck. It's like a family.
It is.
It's like, you know, when people say that the Wells family passed away, I don't even want to say that they passed away. I think they're still around in cyberspace and a little bit of all of us. Because when you go there, you could feel the love in that building and you could feel that people there want to save it. They want to preserve it. They want to restore her to how she was before, right?
That's right.
So really quick, if you can, Anita or Sue, Just tell our listeners a little bit about when you get together, how you feel about that building and the people that are trying their best here in Brevard to preserve it. Well, you're one of them, because when we show up to the gala, you're always smiling. And you encourage us to show up, and you encourage us to be part of it. And Anita, you all had that, you had the lady from the Titanic that came, and we showed up.
We did.
And all the faces there were from Green Gables. And it was a common bond.
It is.
People felt like they were donating to a cause for a very good reason, because you all won't be able to be on the board forever. You're going to have to turn it over to someone else. And that's what you want.
That's what we're trying to do, is find new people, people that are interested. We've come across a lot of them, and they're starting to make our family grow, and that's what we need. We need our family to grow with all these people that in the county
up.
And the area.
And what about the tours? What days are the tours?
We do have tours every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The last tour usually starts around 1:30, so... And if there is a $10 charge, children are free. We'd love to have you come and visit us.
Yeah. Just imagine, we have the Brevard Zoo. We're going to have the aquarium. Then we, on our tourism little paper that we give to everyone, pamphlets that people come, put in their historic Green Gables. How wonderful it would be, because people are always looking for something to do.
That's right.
And the grounds are so lovely, Sue. The grounds are so lovely that... once the house is restored, I'm pretty sure they could make some money doing other things. Because right now, you have the car shows.
That's right.
And things like that. I know people had asked me if there will be weddings there, and why not? The landscape is so gorgeous with the river in the back.
Yes. At this point, I mean, we could even handle a very, very tiny wedding, you know, and the setting on the river is beautiful. Some people have even brought their own arches. There's a couple of weddings that we've done. But so it will be something that'll be really great for a small wedding.
Yeah, and the parking is not bad if it's a small wedding,
right?
It's not bad at all, because the neighbors, they also let you use their
property.
Don't wreck the place.
Yeah,
you know,
we're very fortunate for all the different businesses and the neighbors who have helped us out a lot with things like that.
Well, we're going to be celebrating the spirit of Green Gables at the gala. I know I will be attending with my friends. And if Anita wants to give them the date again one more time for that event and how to get a ticket, we would love it. And then we could pass along the word on our websites and our friends as well. Because I know you have to have people to attend. Listen, folks of Brevard, the sales are a little bit sluggish. I'm not going to tell you something that's not true. You have to show up. If you care about Brevard and you care about the community we live in and saving our green spaces, you ought to attend, because not only are you going to get some food and dancing and everything else, but you're supporting a great cause. And that's why we're all on planet Earth, to do stuff that matters and help our community and be good community sports.
Everyone's excited to have Phoenix Band back also.
Yes.
Have a great time.
We are.
Yeah. And I promised to dance my Trinidadian song, Tiny Whiny.
I got it.
If I could.
I got it.
So maybe we'll encourage Jerry here to show up.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. He likes to stay home, but you never know. With you singing.
Never know. So tickets are on sale, greengables.org.
.org. Evening in Paris. Please join us. It's at the Grand Manor on Sarno Road in Melbourne from 6 to 11 p.m. on February 27th.
Yep.
And you know, Sue and Anita, you two set such a shining example for us here in Brevard, myself and other people who are of our age that might be looking for something once we retire, to volunteer and give back. Because obviously you don't need to do this, but your heart is in Brevard and you care. And you both came from other states.
That's right.
You're not even born, bred Floridians, but look how much you love Florida. So give us that 30-second speech there, Sue. Why people should love Florida enough and Brevard to support historic Green Gables Riverview.
They should, because it reminds me of the homes that I lived in up north, the architecture of it, and it makes me feel like with what he's done for the city, we need to help out to make bring that and keep that alive, to show what everyone should be doing for their area.
Yeah, everyone who goes to Wells Park should think about it. When you go there, it talks about him. You could read it and to tell you, you know, who he was and everything. So why not?
That's right. We like to consider Green Gables as Melbourne's bridge to the past. And we hope that you'll come and walk along that bridge with us.
That's awesome. Well, we are going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors and thank the ladies from Green Gables for coming out and making sure that we know all about our evening in Paris coming up. We're going to listen to our sponsors. We'll be right back with a Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads. 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. And we are in a real rush to talk about dreams, Ellen. We're
right.
Heard worldwide as well.
That's right, 1510 WWBC.com. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there we also archive the shows and we post everything on our social media, as well as our website, which is cedamediainc.com.
Well, you know, my mom, every time she wanted us to do something, she would say, I had a dream. Like, if she didn't want you to go out with some friends, I had a dream last night and something bad happened, so you can't go.
Oh,
we'd be like, oh, you know, our friends are having something at school on Saturday and Sunday. Oh, I had a dream about that. Don't leave the house at 5 o'clock. some jumbie is going to follow you and you're going to fall down, whatever. But in our studio today, our friend Jerry Gifford is a person that actually has taken the time, energy, and effort to learn about dreams. And he's here to discuss with us why we should pay attention to our dreams and that they are extremely powerful. They're trying to tell us something, correct?
Correct.
So to tell us first about yourself, Jerry Gifford, and how you got involved with not cookies and candy and building houses and saving a building, a historic building, but dreams.
It actually began one night, I think it was 93. I was sitting down and watched a program called The Power of Myth on PBS, Joseph Campbell and Bill Moyers, and it hit me. It changed my life, that one program. But what it was talking about was symbol and metaphor and Jungian psychology. And from that day on, I just didn't put my whole being into learning about dreams and Jungian psychology, mythology, and religion, because religion is part of myth.
Right. And you're retired. You are originally from Nashville, Tennessee. And now you live in a place in Florida. I never heard of Altoona, Florida.
Altoona is north of Mount Dora.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking the time to come in today. And you are a veteran, so thank you for your service.
You.
And you also got involved with the Jung philosophy?
Jung.
Okay.
J-U-N-G.
Yeah, I've heard of that, but for our listeners' sake, tell them a little bit about that.
Well, Jung was a student and protege of Freud. And heir apparent until he broke away from Freud because of Freud's assistance on dreams repressing the unconscious. Jung says it's trying to expose what's within the unconscious. And what is in the unconscious is who you really are. Whereas your outer being is the focus on ego and persona, the dream is looking at the unconscious. What is really there and what is hidden. And you have so much that's not known about yourself that's neither repressed or forgotten. And the dreams are basically trying to explain what that is.
Right. And so oftentimes people say that recurring nightmares, dreams that are recurring nightmares, they're trying to tell you something.
All dreams are trying to tell you something.
Yeah. So why do we dream?
Well, dream is a natural part of who we are. Animals dream. If you didn't dream, you would not be a human being. You would not be healthy psychologically, because dreams are trying to balance our psyche. The dream is to the psyche as the body is the immune system is to the body, and it's trying to keep you healthy, make you whole.
Yeah. So there's a language of dreams. Like sometimes if you're in love with somebody, you say, oh, I dreamt about you last night. And the person said, I dreamt about you too. So is it true that it is a language?
It is a language. Just like you were talking about your mother had this dream. You don't take dreams literally. It's symbolic.
Well, I think she was making up some of it.
Unconscious.
<Yeah. laughs>
Unconscious. Her unconscious was making some
yeah.
up. But it's symbol and metaphor and emotional energy.
Yeah.
That's what dreams are about. And your dreams are about you and your emotional energies, and it's trying to expose what's out of balance.
Right.
And trying to bring it to balance.
So we can't control our dreams, but we can certainly try to interpret our dreams, is
yes.
what you're saying.
Yes.
And so during the course, you've given lectures about this?
I have, for a while, I gave lectures until I ran into some issues with religion, believe it or not. But... Yes, my main focus here the last couple of years, or actually the last 30 years to begin with, or last 25 years, has been my website. And let me pitch it, powerofdreams.net. And if you should have a laptop available or a cell phone, go to powerofdreams.net, and you can follow along what we're talking about.
Right.
But it not only dreams, but sleep disorders.
So... do I have a disorder if I don't dream very much? Because I don't dream. I go to sleep and I fall asleep and I wake up with a energy to go to work in the nursing home. My husband, though, he dreams about being in the emergency room, and he chased with EMRs, and he can't do the computer work, and he can't find a nurse, and he can't find supplies. And I said, it's possible that your body was never ready to give up being an ER physician.
Yes.
Because he's still in the ER when he is sleeping at night. Not all the time, but sometimes.
When I say dreams, don't speak a literal language. They do not. They does take literal experiences and stress into account when you dream. I like to talk about dreams have two meanings. And Jung said, actually, there's more than two. One is it's addressing the current stressful issues of the day in a symbolic language, but that's what it's doing. But also it's going back to the foundations of who you are. And that's what you're really looking for. Let me direct the viewers or the listeners to a dream that I have posted, the landlady dream. I had a landlady, I think it was the year 2000, who had this recurring dream since she was a child. And she had become where it was becoming real pressing. So I told her to go back and look at her life after she started having these dreams and just thoroughly investigate what that life was about. She did, and she had repressed child abuse. Now, so what the dream was, she'd go into this house, and then this is a recurring dream, and she'll go into every room except one, had a locked door. That locked door was a repressed trauma. And wow. once she discovered what that was, she had a dream, and she went through that door. That door was open. That's how dreams function.
Yeah.
Not everyone has that trauma.
Yeah, that repression there, too. Yeah. Well, you know, being in long-term care, we've had patients with dementia that have blurted out things. Like, I remember one guy would scream out in the night, fire, mm-hmm. fire. And he would scream for his mom. And then one of his relatives actually told us that way back in the day, yes. there was a fire. Yes. But it was a memory that was repressed. Yes. And it was coming out now that he was demented.
Yes. And through such a psychological trauma, there's these things, and that's how Jung discovered what you call the archetypes, the basic foundations of who we are within the unconscious. But get to your point where you say you don't dream. Everyone dreams, unless there is a real medical issue. You just don't remember.
Oh.
Yeah. And sometimes...
Well, if it's about Brad Pitt, I wouldn't mind remembering. I mean, I'd wake up happy and, you know...
Again, that's symbolic. Brad is representing something, yeah. But everyone dreams. It's uncommon. I had a gentleman recently spoke to that remembers his dream vividly. Wow. And I told him, and I got him interested in going to the website and looking at the different pages. And I have hundreds of pages on just about any aspect of dream, sleep disorders, and everything else, too. That's something I've started getting into recent. And using AI, Anthropic, Claude, oh, it's great. They make mistakes, but it's an easy way to get things done.
That's a good plug for AI.
Yeah.
So, so naturally, dreams have always fascinated people. I remember reading about the people would say that the ancient cultures thought that when their prophets or kings, people like that, dreamt, it was messages from God. And people actually believe those things.
Well, if you're looking for the higher power within yourself, it's true, and that's what God is within yourself.
Right. Well, I say He lives right here.
That's right. He's within you.
That's right.
And you bring God out.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of your being, and that's one reason mainstream psychology has not fully accepted Jung's, because he believes in a spiritual aspect, a metaphysical aspect. Within the self.
But don't we all get more spiritual as we get older?
You know,
we sure do.
Rituals are part of life.
Yeah. And you talk a little bit about the unconscious motivators mm-hmm. and emotional patterns.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that, because, you know, as we get older, bolder, and wiser, a lot of us have life experience, and we can certainly see things.
Yes.
We know when things are coming, and some people dream about things that are coming. I've heard people, I mean, I've seen on hospice patients where they would be waiting for someone to come before they pass.
Yes. Well, Jung addressed that also, because he had that experience. And that's another reason mainstream psychology doesn't accept a lot of his theories. But from my instance, my experience, I had problems with relationships, and couldn't figure out why until I got in the Jung, and it took me several years of strong study to understand my motivations from the unconscious from a child. My father abandoned my mother with four children, and I had no father. So he had the real problem with relationships.
Yes.
So those unconscious motivators go through, especially I've got a link to Carl Reiner, the first 3 to 5 years in life are brain development are the most important. Because just like any animal, the instincts are formed early in, or as all humans are, these archetypes are within the system. You know, they say a baby is born with a blank slate. No, they have instructions within the psyche. The first thing you do is go to the mother's breast.
Yes.
Comfort and nourishment. So these are ingrained in our psyche.
Yeah. You know what? That makes a lot of sense, because you've always seen people talk about read to a child before they're 5 years of age.
Yes.
Because the brain is developing.
Yes.
And at that point, if you enjoy reading, if you enjoy doing something, it will stick with you. So would you say that's conscious or unconscious?
Well, it's both. But also, if the child at an early age experiences mother and father fighting all the time, that becomes part of who they are. You know, that's real. I mean, this is not something. And I tell people, if you don't believe it, Google it.
Yeah.
Unless you have a conspiracy theory about Google, but Google it and you'll see that these things are real. Science is psychology is investigated these things thousands of times with studies that show these things are actually part of who we are.
Yeah, and people say that they can dream about the future. Would that be something like a subconscious thought?
Well, what it is you have an idea what the future could be. And, of course, there's some people, you know, everyone has special gifts, yes. And they can do something like that. Who is the prophet, the sleeping prophet? He predicted the future through dreams. Yeah. And a lot of them were right on, but that's unusual.
Right.
But it's basically the dream is speaking to your unconscious self, of your conscious self, trying to expose what's hidden or forgotten or needs to be brought out to make you whole.
So for people who wake up for people who wake up in the morning and, like you said, they did dream.
Mm-hmm.
But consciously, their brain is saying, I prefer to have my memories of when I wake up,
mm-hmm.
not the memory of what I dreamt about. So is it like an override of the subconscious conscious mind?
Basically, when you get up, the first thing you do is, I want a cup of coffee.
That's me, right there.
And then you lose the dream. Within 5 to 10 minutes, it's gone. If you don't sit there and record it, it's gone. Mm-hmm. But if you do record it, and if you keep a journal on it, you'll see within that dream cycle, that's you. That's where you came from. That's the reason who you are.
Yeah. So culturally, I think we're all the same when you think about it.
Yes.
I think all human, because, you know, if you want to avoid a nightmare, then folks would tell you, have a cup of hot tea, meditate, go for a walk. Don't watch a movie that's scary and nightmare, you know, a nightmare like that. And that seems to be like a universal thing that people would talk about. They tell you, you know, take a walk, deep breathe, exercises. Our bodies are the same no matter what our skin color is.
It can help. But what it's trying to do, if you have a nightmare, is you need to find what the nightmare is, what's causing the nightmares. And again, you're looking at repressed trauma or repressed memories, forgotten memories, things that are out of balance, and you need to discover what it is so you can correct it.
Yeah. And then what you're saying, so everything that we say or do, I tend to believe our creator lives right here in our heart.
Yes.
And with every heartbeat, he's alive and well, or she, whoever you want to believe. And they watch everything we do, see everything we do. There's no hesitation on my behalf, in my brain that happens. That good Lord lives right here.
Mm-hmm.
But so many people don't think that way. Why do you think we're so different, even though we all know that that is what's happening in our body?
Well, again, life has so many things to confront. If, like you were from Trinidad, what's the base, what's the main religion there?
It was founded on the Christian faith, but we also have Muslims and Hindus and others that live and coexist very well.
That's fine. Well, if you lived in India, you would either be Hindu or Muslim.
That's right.
Or Buddhist.
That's right.
Really, the culture has a lot to do with that.
So, explain about the REM part of sleep.
The REM sleep, go through, there's cycles of sleep. You go into the sleep, REM sleep cycle. That's your deep sleep. That rapid eye movement is what it means, where you dream mostly in REM sleep. You can dream out of REM sleep, but it's just the cycles of sleep, and it works maybe four times a night, 10 to 30, 50 minutes per session. And again, that's the part of the brain. This is the chemistry. This is a physical thing. Of course, now, dreaming is a physical, but the content of dream is psychological.
So let's say I go to this gala that Green Gables is having, and I dance and I prance and I have a great time, and I hear all the noises from Ellen and her band. Can external noises affect your dream?
Oh,
would
yes.
I think I'm in Paris when I go to bed?
Yes, it can.
So I'll wake up and say to my husband, let's go. give us the website for people to go and read all your fine work, because you have a lot of stuff there about the psychology of this Jungian that you also read about and talks about.
Yes. It's Power of Dreams, www.powerofdreams.net, .com. Honda got that. The car Honda got that somehow. But powerofdreams.net. If you're on a laptop, hit the text version, then it'll take you to the mobile version, which is more extensive, which I think is a better appearance, and you can see. And it's very, very easy to navigate. This is a lot of the Anthropic AI.
Yeah. Would you say then, for our listeners, we're talking to Jerry Gifford. He's a friend of ours that talks about analyzing our dreams. Would you say that sleep paralysis is a real experience?
Sure. Yes. Yeah. That's a physiological condition. Yes. Restless legs. And again, on my website, I address a lot of these.
Yeah. Restless leg syndrome. A lot of people have that. Yes. And the first choice is medication. The first thing they want to do. So can you talk a little bit about that?
That's not something I'm really educated on yet. Like I said, if you go to the website, you'll see sleep nightmares and disorders. And I think there's one, PSD, the stages of sleep, night terrors.
Oh, PTSD.
Yeah.
And you raised your head for restless leg. Do you have that?
Yes.
And what do you do for it? You take something.
I drink tonic. That's what I drink.
ADHD in dreams.
ADHD?
Yeah, got so many, and I'm adding new
So
pages
Jerry,
every
would you say to our listeners on Viewpoint with Seat and Friends, what would you say if someone say, can you control your dreams?
There's such thing as lucid dreaming.
Yes.
Where you do have control of the dreams. I'm not real big on lucid dreaming because I'm afraid it takes away from the therapeutic aspect of dreams, because that's what dreams are.
Wow.
Therapeutic. What an educational segment once again, Sita, on not just on Green Gables and all the great things that are going on in our community, but on dreams. And I know when I go into Green Gables, I feel like the history and I feel all of that.
Well, you're dreaming about it too.
And when I left the last time that I played there, I remember going home and having a dream of being in one of those vintage gowns and it has a lot to do with my day-to-day.
And I think what Jerry's talking about, too, if people pay attention to their bodies, their mind, their soul, and their spirit, you can also get some mental clarity, and it can help mentally and physically and emotionally as well.
If you listen to your dreams, interpret your dreams, you will be a healthier person psychologically.
And we will make sure that all this great information is out there, because Jerry still does readings and some stuff, so you can get in touch with him on there. Again, ladies, thank you so much for educating us on Green Gables. Don't forget to buy your ticket, February 27th for the Grand Manor Gala for Green Gables, which is going to be an evening in Paris. Again, thanks for another great segment here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Tune in next week, Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another great show.